The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7, and go out to motivationandmuscle.com and check out the two free ebooks. Number one, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, 10 paragraphs with 5 bullet points to every paragraph, and our brand new 30-month program, where basically this is the first time I've really put anything out where you would do a conventional lift. Say, well, I'll give you the two. Number one is going to be the squat, and then you get into the power rack or some type of safety place where nothing can happen to you, and you'll basically knock some partials off at the top. The middle of the week is going to be strictly sandbag work. One of the movements I use for stones is in there, so that's a good thing right there. And then on I did a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with them. You can do them whatever you want to do. Will be the bench press. That would be your conventional bench press, and we go through how to do lockouts. Now, and, you know, we add neck and a few things like that in. But the main thing is this is a program that you can just keep adding on and expanding and growing and growing. So you don't have to stop right there, and it's free. All you got to do is leave your email address, and away we go. The two products that I had to date are free right now, two, Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle. Both of them are time-tested, all done here at the house. All filmed here. We write all of our content. There's nobody doing our work for us. So if you like the show and you like what we do here and you like the success we've had with clients here too, that's your ticket. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the information out there. We have more content than any show that I know of on the planet, and we are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Now that we're streaming, we are literally all over the world now. You've heard some of the people on here. We've got Norway, Netherlands, Ireland, Germany. It's all over the place. And we're going to keep going, going, going. So go out there and check that all out. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that I want to say with that? No, I don't think there is. Okay. Well, we've got a special guest today. We got Danielle Curry on here. Now, Danielle was on with us. I looked it up before we came on. She came on in May of 2015, so it's been a long, long time, but we're glad to have her back, and I hope she's going to come on more frequently if she can do that. I'm going to give you a little information on her. Number one, she's a Highland Games competitor, strong woman, Moss wrestler, and she surprised me with something. She's doing some Olympic lifting, and we're going to get into – this is very interesting because this is transitioning in from those three styles of training she did to get into Olympic lifting. So I can't wait to hear how that all happened, why she's doing it, and where she sees herself in the next few years. So, Danielle, welcome to Motivation and Muscle.
Hi, Eric.
It's good to have you here. Why, anything I missed with your bio, like I said, you got a website, anything like that, give that out to our family here, and we're going to get right into, I'm just going to call it transitioning, so take it away.
Y'all can look me up on Facebook, it's just Danielle Curry, and then Instagram is Lifter Miss D.
All right, that's pretty simple, huh?
Yeah, very, very simple.
All right, so we haven't talked to you in over a year now. Catch us up to the point where now you've got something else that's got the bug for another great sport. But catch us up from where you were going, what you've been doing, and then obviously this big transition that's taking place with you right now.
Yeah, let's see. It's been a whole year. So I was training strongman, still doing the same path. I was looking forward to go to Strongest Woman in the World and then World's Strongest Woman, Moss Wrestling, the World Championships, Highland Games, all that kind of stuff was going great. Did some Highland Games this year, did a strongman, that way I'd be qualified for nationals. And then I wasn't really training any of those because I was just strictly like powerlifting.
Yep.
Just going into the gym, hitting the main lifts, whatever accessories I want to do. I never really have a plan with training. So it's just kind of whatever I want to do that day and go in and do.
Yep.
So should I go into the transition of the weightlifting?
Well, you know, the main thing is here, I mean, obviously, you know, you were doing multiple things, and I know the last time we talked to you, I think, if I remember, you were getting ready to go overseas for Moss Wrestling, I think. Am I to be corrected on that, or was that what was going on? You qualified or whatever. Was there something going on with Moss?
Right, that's correct. So okay. I went over to Moscow.
Yep. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Thanksgiving 2015.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot different than the first time I went over to Russia when I went over to Yakutsk. Very cool. Ended up having the same stage, same kind of setup. I ended up getting second over there, which is super awesome. It ended up being, it wasn't the World Championships, it was the World Cup.
Okay.
So there's four sections of the World Cup for Moss Wrestling, and it's every other year.
Mm-hmm.
So last year was the World Cup, and then this year is the World Championship that I didn't know until. But I was undefeated up until the last girl. It was the same lady, Tatiana Greiger, who beat me last year, who beat me this year. She's much more developed in Moss Wrestling, and her techniques are phenomenal.
Yep.
I mean, it was a good time.
Yeah. Well, it's great, though. I mean, still, I mean, no one likes losing, but you almost made it to the very end. You know, it's too bad you didn't pull it out, but you know what? There could always be another time, regardless. All right, so this is very interesting. You're doing three major sports, which we both know that these sports are not easy at all, especially mentally and physically on you. What was this something that you just started doing, something you had always liked, something that you'd gone in and said, you know what, I'm going to go in and take a look at this, try some of the major lifts in Olympic lifting, and go from there? Or were you approached by somebody to, you know, I know that people are looking you over and stuff, but what brought all this on with Olympic lifting with you?
So it was super cool how it happened, completely out in left field, like didn't expect it. So one night, I was training at the compound with Donnie Thompson and a lot of the other guys there. And one of them, so I didn't even post the video. It was one of the guys posted, I did a 660-pound squat in a pair of Donnie's old briefs.
Mm-hmm.
And great squat, felt amazing. I was like, yeah, it was good. So they posted it. I ended up having a friend in Georgia, Jance Footit. So that was Tuesday night. On a Wednesday morning, I wake up to a text from him that says, hey, I sent your video to Ivan Rojas and Dr. Eric Serrano.
Mm-hmm.
Ivan wants to know if you want to start Olympic lifting. You have all the criteria. He wants to know if you want to start training for 2020.
2020 meaning the Olympics.
The Olympics in Tokyo.
That's unbelievable. Okay. Now you know that you got some people interested in you. Obviously, they know you got the talent. So where do we go next now?
So I'm in week 7 or 8. I think I'm week 8, but I took 3 weeks off because of I was just working crazy hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I met Ivan, let's see, in August. I had never met him before, never even talked to him on the internet. I went down to Jance's house. Ivan and a whole bunch of other people were down there for the Boris Shako seminar.
Okay.
And went down there. I met him. We did a kind of like a one rep max. I mean, I have terrible form. It's getting better. But he was like, all right, we'll stop there. We'll base numbers off of that. So I'm training 6 days a week right now for
wow.
it. Take specific, yeah. one of the funny things he said was, he was like, you have some pros and cons. And I was like, okay, like, what are they? Like, mm-hmm. hit me with it. He was like, your pros are that you're strong.
No
he was
doubt.
Like, your,
yep.
yeah. He was like, your cons are you're strong and you're old.
Oh, Jesus. That's great. Yeah. strong and you're old. Okay. What's the good news?
That I was strong. That was it.
Okay.
So you never think at 27 that you're going to be told that you're old, but to just be getting into Olympic lifting, I am old.
Yep.
So I video every single session, and I usually send it to Jance in Georgia, and then he sends some of them up to Ivan in Maine.
Mm-hmm. What? All right. So we're training 6 days a week now. Clean and jerk, snatch, we know that. I'm sure front squats. But just tell our family, our audience out there, what are some of the things you're doing right now, obviously, to, you know, you are an experienced lifter. You're very successful with everything you've done. What are you doing at this point to accelerate your progress even more? Because, you know, I know 2020 might sound like a long time, but look at 16 right now, how we're almost through the year. And I don't know about you, but this has been the fastest year of my life. I have never seen, you know, this is what I always tell people, especially with the business now, and you're so involved. Monday hits and it's Thursday already to me. Seriously. And it's like 2020 is a lot closer than we think. So what are you doing right now movement-wise? Because I don't know everything they're doing. I'm sure they use a different style of endurance work, et cetera, et cetera. Just give us a little bit like what you're dealing with right now.
So Ivan said one of the problems with American like Olympic lifting is everybody tries to go too heavy. So there's always that okay. social media part that everybody wants to post the big lifts. So right now it's all light stuff, working on technique, flexibility. Pretty good flexibility. I didn't realize that I don't have a lot of upper body flexibility. Like okay. getting into that position in the clean is still hard for me.
Yep.
So I'm doing a lot of snatches, power snatches, pause snatches, clean and jerks, jerks behind the neck,
yep.
front squats, squats, and different variations of all of those.
Yep.
Just a lot of barbell stuff. Not very high reps, so I think the most I've done on snatches are sets of three.
Yep.
So nothing terrible. I started my squat back down at the bar. So
yep.
he said I was moving heavy weight slow, and I need to be able to move heavy weight fast.
Yeah, explosive.
We stripped it all the way back down to the bar and started really working on that rebound out of the bottom and getting
yep.
faster in squats.
Yep. Let me ask you this. Especially squats are real interesting. I mean, you know, the flexibility, especially when you hold a bar, you know, a front squat the way you do that. What have you noticed in this short amount of time? Has your body physically started to change in a different way? Are you the same? Do you see different things that are happening? And how do you feel mentally right now that you are doing Olympic lifting?
So it's a whole different type of squat because I was doing mainly box squats and really wide, like powerlifting stance. So now I'm back into that tighter Olympic lifting. And so when I started all that powerlifting, my quads really started to get smaller because I was so quad dominant.
Yeah.
And my hamstrings grew, and like kind of your butt takes a different shape when
yeah.
you're
yeah, it does.
You're chain.
Yep.
So now the quads are starting to come back. The upper back is a little bigger from
yep.
all the high pulls, that type of work.
Sure.
So Jance is really big on like the mental aspect of it, and he really likes the psychology of it all. And he was like, "I'm excited to see like how I do."
Yeah.
Because I mean, when you squat 660 and you're back down to squatting the bar, that's kind of a mind fuck that you're like,
"Oh yeah,
what am I doing?"
Yeah.
So,
but you know something. You are going to have the capability of front squatting huge weights, you know that. I mean, I think the front squat is definitely a harder movement, but I'll tell you what, you know, with a 660 back squat, I would expect you pretty close even with a front or a mid-fives or somewhere in that vicinity, because I don't know what numbers they're looking at with you down, you know, in the next 2 or 3 years. But I would assume that they're going to expect to hit some pretty big numbers with you under the bar, obviously. You know what I think with the Olympic? Well, I'll ask you this. Strong woman, you got to be quick. We know that. But do you find now, You know, this is what I gather. I mean, I've done a little Olympic lifting, but I've had friends with me that lifted with me that were Olympic lifters and competed. Do you feel much more endurance now? Do you feel a quickness that you didn't have before? Obviously, you're learning all the lifts, so we probably can't gauge everything. But as you go week to week, is your body responding in different ways now that maybe it didn't with the other three disciplines you were in? So what are you seeing with Olympic lifting at this point, you know, speed, endurance, you know, et cetera, et cetera?
So speed is definitely there. I always said in powerlifting, so like after I got like so bogged down in it that I kind of felt like a truck in first gear.
Yeah.
Like I could
yeah.
do anything, but it was just going to be a little slow.
Yeah. Yep.
So now I'm starting to get back that speed and that endurance because you're not always completely rested and they're much more complex movements.
Yeah, absolutely.
So definitely get some endurance back. Right now, every few weeks I'm doing, it's one clean to three jerks.
Yep.
And those are hard for sets of three.
Yep.
That is cardio. That is hard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Olympic lifting, you know, anybody I've ever talked to, that was probably one of the best things to transition over to strongman. Usually there are a lot mm-hmm. of very successful people. You know, maybe they weren't winning WSM, but there were a few in there that were very good. And it's just the idea, we all know with strongman, you can be strong as hell, but you got to be explosive and fast too. How many big guys have we seen in strongman that, you know, they could lift just about anything, but they couldn't get in out of their own way? You know, so you've got to have the speed, the endurance, strength and endurance, as we call it here, to make it. Let me ask you this, diet-wise, and I mean, this is important because you are definitely transitioning into a different style of training. Is the diet different? You know, we all know the sources, protein, whatever you're going to eat, you know, whether it's red meat, et cetera, if you do eat meat, you know, all that deal. Are you on a whole different style of eating too with this whole regimen you're doing?
Yes. And yeah. I just started that last Monday, so it hasn't even been that long.
Okay.
It wasn't anything that like the coaches said I need to do or like I need to drop weight or any of that.
Right.
But I look at it as I have one chance to do this.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people behind me, a lot of people that are taking their time to help me with it.
Yep.
And like I need to give my best.
Yeah.
And so I kind of sat down with a girl up in North Carolina and talked about, she's like, what are your goals? And I said, I want to look like the athlete that I am.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just everybody always wants to look more athletic. It's not that I want to be more toned or I just want to be more athletic.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay. And she was like, what don't you like about yourself? And I was like, oh, you know, I don't like carrying this extra weight. I don't need it anymore. For strongman, it was great.
Yep.
Everybody in strongman kind of, we hide behind that of we need to be bigger.
Yep.
Because, I mean, heavyweights don't really have a max weight. We can be whatever.
Yep.
So then we sat down and she was like, what are you eating a day? So I kept track for like 3 days. And it turned out that I was only eating like 1,500 calories.
That's nothing.
Right. So it's like, so then it was like, why are you big? Oh, because every time you eat, your body's like, hey, I need to save this because we're starving.
Yep.
So, I weighed in once for a week. I'm up to 2,700, a little over 27, almost 2,800 calories.
Yep.
And first week I lost 5 pounds.
Yeah.
it's crazy.
Well,
are you
eating more of a high fat, high protein diet with limited carbs, or how are you going pretty much right now?
So I'm doing the whole macro thing. Carbs and protein are about the same, and they're around high 200s, and
yep.
then fat is only at like 77 grams. So
okay.
It's not crazy. It's just, hey, I'm trying to be healthier. I'm trying to be better. I'm like trying to put my all into this.
Well, I think, too, if you feel you don't need to carry that extra weight anymore, and you're going to find out as you start leaning down, not only are you going to be more muscular, but, man, you're going to feel good. I mean, you know, you're going to walk on that platform and tear a hole through it because, you know, the worst thing to do is to be heavier than you need to be, and you're just out of gas all the time. you know, and with Olympic lifting, that is going to be far more demanding on you than probably anything, you know, you've done, I would think. I mean, you tell me, does it feel to the point where you are right now, does it feel like the other modalities you did, or do you feel that this is much more demanding, not only on your central nervous, but on you mentally, totally?
This is the hardest thing I've ever done.
Okay.
So,
all
like,
right.
Strongman beats the hell out of you. But
yeah.
You usually do strongman once a week.
Yeah.
And do, like, maybe 3 events on a Saturday or something. This is 6 days a week. Like, the other day, my traps were so sore, it hurt to, like, turn the water.
Oh, man. Yeah, but you know what? This is good because very few people will ever get out. We were talking about that today, about getting out of your comfort zone, and maybe you're kind of successful with something. It's like, I don't want to do that. And why? Well, you know something? I'm going to say the word people don't want to hear. It's fear. Look, and not only that, people like to be known for what they're good at. They don't want people seeing them. Well, I got no problem with the word failure anymore. I think with business, with training, with everything, success is from failure. And you're going to fail a hell of a lot more times than you're going to succeed. But when you succeed in things that really, really matter, they're going to have their carry over to everything. And that's what I want to ask you. All right, you've pretty much changed everything you're doing, which is great. You know, everybody now is in the restoration. Now, you said basically it hurt to let the water hit your traps, all right? Where are you now in any type of restoration? Because I imagine that you've got to keep the muscle very supple, you know, very, I don't like using the word stretched, but, you know, you need it not bunchy and things of that nature. What are you doing right now besides good sleep at night, I hope, to really get yourself transitioned in to the day-to-day beating you're putting on yourself?
So I actually don't go to the gym until really late, just because of, I kind of switched up gyms and all of that. So I go from maybe like 8:30 till 11.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that whole sleep thing you were talking about, that's the missing puzzle.
Okay.
Puzzle piece there.
Okay.
But when I do come home, I'm either icing things that, like, are, like, tweaked, or I'm heating things, like, my knees afterwards. I'm rolling out in the morning. I'm trying to stretch. I have rubber bands in my living room.
Yep.
That when I have 5 to 10 minutes, I just need to stretch things out, need to get things moving.
Yep. Absolutely. I've got, in my living room, I've got a Thomas Inch dumbbell. An 8X club, and I've got one of the old, they used to make them, they don't make anymore. It's pretty slick. It's like a push-up setup, and you can take, it's got holes drilled all over it, and you can put the handles in anywhere and do push-ups from any angle. I love doing that. And the funny thing is, do you know Martin Janzik's from Scotland? He's a strongman?
No.
Okay. Martin is a great guy. They just went over probably a couple months ago, Bill Crawford, David Webster, everybody, and they went and they found all these famous stones, more so in Scotland rather than, you know, we always hear about the Inver and the Dinnies and the Fianna and all that. Supposedly a lot of these stones were rumors, and I guess they found the majority of them and lifted them and filmed it all. And Martin's on the show now a lot, and he's a great guy. I mean, awesome, awesome stone lifter. And I want to say it's a 250-pound sandbag in the doorway that leads into his living room from outside. And he sends me a picture, and he's like, you know, when you walk in here, you should really lift this sandbag. There he is holding it. And it's the same thing I think we all do. I mean, you got bands, you could have whatever else, but there's always something with lifters, they've got somewhere in their house where it's going to be visible, because chances are if you're doing something, like I've got some stuff even up here in my office where, you know, when I'm done with a show or in between, maybe I'll take a set of bands and do 100, you know, presses overhead when I'm stepping on the bottom of them, something just to get some blood flow and get away from sitting in front of a screen for, you know, an extended period of time. So, yeah, I think that stuff's great. So, Do you do massage? Do you do chiropractic? Do you do any, you know, acupuncture? Do you get into any of that stuff, Danielle?
So I actually have a massage scheduled for tomorrow.
Yep.
But I usually don't schedule them until I'm like ridiculously sore.
Yeah.
So this kind of defeats the purpose. Like I should schedule them like bi-monthly or something like that, but I just never do it until, I don't want to say until it's too late, but like you're on that point. You're like, I need that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Chiropractor. Whenever I go down to Georgia, there's a really good one, down at the gym at Five Rings that every Saturday.
Oh, nice.
When I'm down, I can go ahead and adjust. So that's awesome.
Nice. No, I mean, there's no doubt about it. That those modalities all work. The only thing that I don't like to do is go too much. You know, I've had chiropractor. You got to come every week. I find that I get sometimes intensely sore after they've worked on me because, you know, when they work on you, I mean, that's like a workout in itself if you've ever really gone and had it done and they're hitting you from head to toe. So I backed off a lot of that stuff. I go once a month regardless, unless there's something going on and I got to get it taken care of. Because, you know, with cortisol levels and your body fighting soreness from some very hard sessions, I'm not saying it doesn't help with recovery, but I think depending on who you go to for things, it can at times work in a negative way, I think, too. I mean, that's what I've experienced. So I do like, you know, I kind of like on the same deal you do, you know, I'll go once a month. Yes. And if I've got a problem, then I go right away. You know, I get in. But I think you can overdo all that stuff, too. I really go ahead.
No, I completely agree. So when I go, it's once a month. Last month I didn't get down there any at all, but it really just depends.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? And I know that you said that you're out training until 11, but, you know, there's nothing like good old sleep. Seriously.
I know.
it is. And a friend of mine, well, he's on Facebook, Steven Santangelo. He's an organic farmer down in Kentucky. And he's got some of the best stuff out there. He's got a greens to, you know, obviously consume. But he's got these miracle minerals. And if you got a big enough bathtub like I do, because I can't fit in a standard tub, I'm squeezed like that. I dump those miracle minerals in with some hot water. You better be ready to go to bed right after that, because it's like someone knocked you out, literally. This stuff is so good. You can use it on anything. Now, I brush my teeth with it at night, gargle with it before I go to bed. But the biggest thing is, he said, you got to put it on your garden. And he wanted to know, do you have a garden? I said, I put one in every year. This by far, of course, I used, you know, really good plants. They weren't GMOs, anything, and all this. I went to a organic farmer, whether you want to do that or not. But I'll tell you what, it was the first year I did it. And I used his miracle minerals, and I sprayed it out of one of those, like, applicators you can get, like, a, you know, they use for miracle grow. So I put that, the miracle minerals in with it. I had the biggest yield of a garden I've ever had in my life. The plants were the biggest I've ever seen. I had pepper plants that were almost 4 feet high. They were literally putting out peppers. I can't tell you how many peppers I picked this year. It had to be easily 50, maybe more. Same with my tomatoes, my lettuce, my beans, anything like that. This stuff just enhances it. So I think what I found, which really works great, is you throw that stuff in a hot tub, and, man, you talk about healing. It's fabulous. It's one of the best things I've ever used. And, of course, I bought a Tempur-Pedic bed a few years ago. That's another thing that's a dynamite thing to sleep on. The only complaint I got, and they've changed it, is in the summer they do hold a little bit too much heat in for your body. But you get in that thing and you throw anything all over you, you're going to be ample warm. So those are kind of what I use. Let's talk about restoration quickly anyways. We already did a little. How important do you think it is, I mean, with any type of lifting you're doing? Because, I know a lot of people are drinking caffeine to the point where you're going to break. But, you know, if you're not going to be, you know, jacked on caffeine all the time, and sooner or later you are going to hit a brick wall with caffeine. I mean, how important is going to be restoration for everything you do?
So it's crazy how if I skip a session, or I also take the play again now, the hyaluronic acid.
Oh, okay, I got that. Yep, from Debbie. Yep.
Yes, I love Debbie, and I love hyaluronic acid.
Oh yeah.
If I miss sessions of doing like the mobility stuff or stretching out or just taking time to really pay attention to your body, it is crazy how you feel the next week if you, even if you don't drink enough water.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy because I sit at a desk all day and some days you just kind of, I mean, it's stupid to say that you forget to drink water, but I mean, you forget to drink water, and
yeah,
you notice you go to the gym that night that, oh, my calves are tighter when I'm trying to do a full snatch, or like my quad is cramping as I'm doing squats. I mean,
yep,
it's crazy, and a lot of people don't pay attention to that.
No, not at all.
And it hurt all the time too. Is you're, yep, not doing, you're not helping those things. You're breaking them down. You're tearing them apart. But show them some love.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I do. Before, like last night, do it every night before I go out. I always have a gallon of water with me. I like drinking water warm, believe it or not. And I put I put Pedialyte in it just because of the minerals and things you're losing when you're training. So I put a little bit of that in my water, sip it. Another thing I do too, which people will be like, huh? I think fats. I've been doing an awful lot of research on them, and I know that that's like the big thing now with a lot of people. You know, it came out of Atkins. It came – Vince Guaranda was big with all that. It's been around for a long time. But what I found, especially on days when I'm going to train, and I usually train at 7:30 at night, if I eat a lot of fat during the day and cut it off about 3 hours before I'm going to go out, and fats like – coconut oil, coconut milk, avocado, heavy cream, I'm talking out of the bottle, I seem to always be much, much stronger. Now, is it psychological? It could be a little bit, but you got to remember that's playing with hormones, any type of fat you're dealing with. And I drink a small little, it's probably about, I don't know, I'd say 6 or 8 ounces of heavy cream when I'm training. So I've got water and my little bottle of heavy cream, and away we go. And I've started because we're talking, Martin and I are talking about possibly next June. We got to see how things are with everything. We might be doing a big stone trip to Iceland, Scotland, and Wales next year. So last night I started specifically. I've never done this before. You know, Bill Crawford, who's one of the greatest stone lifters, in my opinion, in the world, said, you know what you need to do one of these days? You need to train stones and only stones, even if it's for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and watch what's going to happen to you metabolically. So last night, I started. So I can't wait to see. I'm gonna start with a little more fat in the diet, you know, like I just said. Lot more butter. Like I like to, you know, when I make eggs, obviously near the end, if you're scrambling them, I always like to throw some butter in on them at the end and some Tabasco, and away we go. So I'm going to mess around with fats quite a bit in the next 4 to 5 weeks, see how my body plays out, what it looks like, and then we're going to see how that's going to transition over to all the dead stop work I do in the power rack. So And that doesn't mean cutting stones out, but they won't be the primary move now for like another 4 to 6 weeks. So it's very interesting stuff because, like you, I am transitioning. Not that I haven't not lifted stones, but I've never taken stones and made them my primary move with everything. And I'm a big believer, since we last talked, I discovered this. It's no new discovery, but I wish that I knew this when I was 10 years old. I think cleaning and carrying for distance, I don't care how heavy it is, I think that's one of the most beneficial lifts I've ever done in my life. I think that can take anybody and turn them into whatever they want to be. I'm that confident, and I've done it with clients here. It is absolutely amazing when you can wrap yourself around a big object, you know, against your chest and go with it. So that's kind of like the stuff like I'm into now. And you know, the fun of all this stuff that we do here, which you know, it is an obsession to me, and it's always going to be, because I have such passion for what I do and what I love to do, that when I have to do things like this, you know, okay, I have never done this before, so we're going to change our training totally to just stones and some neck work and a little grip, that's all. But that the primaries are going to be stone pulls, stone walks. Stone pulls, stone walks. I might have three stones going at once. We're going to get real creative here. That's what I like about all this. I'm not afraid, you know. You know, years ago you might say, geez, I don't know if I'll do that. You know, the classic word is, am I going to be able to keep my size? I don't really give a shit anymore. I know how big I've got. Right? I know how big I've got to be, but the thing is, you know what I'm figuring? I'm figuring this stuff is going to enhance me more than I've ever had in my whole lifting career. So I try to look at everything now in that respect rather than be like, oh, geez, people, you know, I won't be as big or I won't be as strong. Let me tell you, you know, my driveway is 95 feet down and back. If you're carrying a 350 to a 400-pound stone repeatedly, let's do the math here. I think you're going to be pretty damn big, don't you?
Yeah.
You're going to be small, too. And that's what I don't get about people, you know what I mean? It's just, come on, will you? Snap out of it. Go try something new. When you transitioned over now to the Olympic lifting, and obviously, you know, people were very impressed with what you could do. Did you have any reservation?
I didn't. So I was kind of in a weird place with Highland Games, Strongman, yep. Moss Wrestling, all of that. It was kind of a weird place of, it wasn't that exciting for me anymore.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
It wasn't super exciting for me anymore, and I kept thinking of, I'm going to take this time off. So before I got approached with this Olympic lifting thing, I was going to take time off. I wanted to be a normal person.
I got you.
And my idea of a normal person is not actually what a normal person is. Like, I just want to get to the gym and do.
Yeah.
I want to say regular weights, but that's not normal either.
Nope.
I just wanted to go to the gym for a little bit and, like, to a commercial gym with my headphones in, with a hat on, and just do some stuff and then leave and not really yep. think about performance or anything, but focus on myself.
Yep.
And so, like, dropping weight and all that was kind of in that plan. So with Olympic lifting coming on, he kind of asked me, like, how do you feel mentally about doing that? Like,
yeah.
You're at the top of the world and these three things, and now you're going to a world where you're nobody. And he's like, how do you feel? I'm like, I'm excited. I'm excited to try something. It's mentally stimulating that I can go in and I can work on these things. And he gives me feedback all the time of what I need to be doing or what I should be doing better or what's great. So it's awesome. It was a good transition
yeah.
for me, and it happened to come at the right time.
Well, you know what? It sounds like you and like I've gone through it. I don't want to say the word burnout because that's used too frequently, but as much as we love what we do, I think we all reach a point where, well, I know with me and the guys that I lifted with for years, and we split off because they were staying with the same old stuff. I wanted to get into more of the very heavy power rack work. They never yeah. saw any validity in it, and we split. We didn't talk for 10 years because of that. But I'll tell you right now, I never would have got good in the rack. I never would have transitioned the stones or did anything like that. In my opinion, maybe I would have. But I got to the point where I was just very tired of doing the deadlifts, the bench press, you know, the seated press, the bent rows. Oh, I just got sick of it. I loved doing that. Foundational yeah. stuff still, but I wanted to do it a different way. I wanted to do it with no rebound anymore. I wanted to test myself mentally to see if I could dig my ass right out of that hole, because now I was training alone for the first time since I started out. And those are all transitions that a lot of people would either go back or they might just even quit. I wasn't going to quit. I wanted to succeed with this, and I did. And then I got, obviously, into stone lifting, which that's got to be one of the greatest things I've ever dabbled in. And I'm not even dabbling it. It's what I, it's my passion, that, and obviously power rack work. Those two things I don't think I'll ever get tired of, because the ability to fail with that stuff is so real all the time. It's like we were talking about this the other day. Do you really think that stone gives a shit if I pick that up or not? I mean, I've already, it's already claimed my left bicep in Iceland. Okay? You and I both know, right? Does it care? No, it doesn't. Does that bar, when you get under it at bottom position and you've got to squat it and stand up with it with no rebound, you think it cares if it comes up on one side or not? Doesn't care. So what I found with that stuff was, and I think this is more how I am mentally, it worked for me. Now, a lot of that stuff most people aren't going to go near, because a lot of people, as I said in the beginning, they'll feel embarrassed if they can't do it, or they'll feel like, oh, I can't get any stronger with this. This is no good, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I think what you did and are doing, I think it's a great thing, because you know something? If you stayed on the course you were doing, chances are maybe you were kind of losing your love for it. I don't know. I can't speak for you, but I think it sounds a lot like how I was. It was like you're at that point where you kind of just want to go off on your own and go do something, where nobody was measuring you up. You didn't have a contest in another month to get ready for. And, you know, you and I both know you've got a personal life too. And a lot of stuff suffers because of what we do. But that's all part of it, and I've got no problem with it at all anymore. I think you stay true to yourself, true to your beliefs, and no matter what happens, you'll always make out well outside of the gym. What's your feeling on all that?
I would agree. So I was just going through the motions on everything. I was showing up at the gym at night, training with the guys, just going through the motions. Like, the 660 squat, like I said, it was just okay. Like, And they're like, aren't you happy? I was like, yeah, it's okay. Like, when you're going through the motions, none of that stuff's exciting.
Yeah.
For me, when I was still training strongman, like, every other weekend, that stuff wasn't exciting. I didn't get that, like, the rush when I was done, or the last strongman that I was at, the last strongman was North Carolina Strongest, and like 5 weeks before that, I did 10 pounds over the current world record in the log clean and press.
Wow.
So I did a 260 log clean and press, and I was like, they're like, oh, that's exciting. I was like, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I went to the competition, and I did like 225, and they're like, what'd you do? And I was like, nothing. Like, it was just all right. Like, every event, it was just like, okay, I'm here.
You're here, but yeah. Well, you're there.
My body's here, but I'm not here.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're there, but it's like you're not showing up. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, and if you're not there mentally, like, you just can't put your body through these type of workouts if you're not there mentally. Because you're just going to go through the motions. I picked up the hoof, felt stone to carry it, and I was walking, and the judge was, like, timing me, and I looked at him, and I said, I don't want to do this, and I sat it down.
Really?
And he looked at me, and he goes, what? He said, I don't want to do this, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean.
I finished, that was the fourth out of five events, so I went and finished stone, but, I mean, it still wasn't, it was just weird, and once I hit that point, this was before the Olympic lifting came, I knew it was time to stop.
Yep, absolutely.
Because I didn't want to hate the sport, I just didn't have the love for it that I did.
Well, not only that, you're placing yourself in harm's way, too, because you and I both know when you're mentally not into something, you get a little bit sloppy, or you're not, you know, paying attention, the result, and you could have a catastrophic injury like that, too. It's better to not do it than do it half-heartedly with anything. I think that was a smart move. I've only got a couple more questions, but I want to ask you this mainly. And we talked about a little bit of the mental tenacity you need for Olympic lifting. 2020 will be coming. I hope you tear up the next 3 years big time. I don't know how you do things mentally, but with 2020 in mind's eye, Are you preparing already for this, or are we getting a little bit too far ahead of what you're trying to accomplish now? But you've got to be thinking about it a little bit. What's on your mind right now about 2020?
So, like, everybody's super excited about this, and I am too, but, like, even saying it or hearing it, it's so far off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see myself as being like, hey, you have complete and full potential to go to 2020. And so none of it's realistic to me.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm on the outside looking into this.
Yeah.
So it's really just taking day by day. And, like, I was talking to Jance the other day, and I was like, am I okay where I am? And he was like, yeah. Like, things are going well.
Yeah.
Just keep training.
Yep.
I'm like, okay. Because, like, so I just don't see myself in that light. And you never grasp your full potential because you just can't see it.
Yep. I got it.
And that's what I'm worried about. Like, I'm super excited, and I'm like, that's an awesome opportunity, but, like, I'm still afraid because I haven't, it's just so far off. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. But you know what the nice thing is? You've got a big goal here. You've got enough time to get to where you need to get. But you know what the greatest thing is? You might be standing on the biggest stage in 3 years in the world, man. I mean, think about how special that is and what an honor that is. And to be able to transition from three different, you know, training modalities that are huge, and to go there and accomplish, you know, you might have the greatest greatness you've ever done in your entire physical career. I think that stuff is so damn exciting, man. I mean, you get goosebumps. I mean, to think that you could be packing up and going and representing the United States, what an honor. I commend you. I think it's dynamite. Last question. Well, here's the big one. You're doing something that, I mean, you are an established athlete. I mean, look at what you've done, and I'm sure you might do, maybe someday you might even do it again. What would you tell anybody that even might be thinking about whether it's they're going to no longer powerlift, they want to go to strongman or vice versa or whatever, or Olympic lifting? What would be your advice to somebody that's thinking about it? They're maybe on the fence, but you want to give them that little push because you know that they could do it. What would you tell somebody right now with all your experience?
I would tell them, go for it. I mean, what do you have to lose?
Right.
What's going to happen? You're going to fail? Okay, cool. So pick yourself back up and do it again.
Yep.
And no matter what, the world's going to keep turning. Just because you fail, and I'm going to put that in quotes, at a meet doesn't mean you fail at life.
Yeah.
You're still going to go home, and your significant other is going to love you, and you're going to cook dinner, or you're going to go to work, and all of these things are still going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, that is just a minor part of your life.
Yep.
So do it. Go after it. Like, there was a girl in the gym the other day, and she came up to me, and she was super excited, and she told me all these things about how she wants to be at the CrossFit Games, and she wants to do everything, and she was just super excited and talking really fast. And she was like, but I'm never going to be there. I'm not that good. I can't. She was like, I just watched you lift, and that I'll never be there. And I was like, stop. I was like, how old are you? And she's like, 20. I'm like, you're young.
Yeah.
She was like, how long have you been lifting? And she was like, 6 months. I said, stop rushing the process.
Yep.
Absolutely stop. I said, enjoy the ride. It's going to be a long, bumpy road.
Yeah. And you know what not to interrupt you, but you know what the problem is in today's world, especially, you know, people are constantly being told they can't do things. Why would you want to do it? You know, that's not any good for you. And the one you're always going to hear is, well, aren't you afraid of getting hurt? This is why I think you see, and maybe it was always like this, but I never remember this like this with a lot of people, especially in the strength game. They give you a million reasons why they can't, but they can't give you one why they can. And it's like, you're not going to make it anywhere if you think you're going to walk right on a platform, or you're going to pull the biggest stone, or you're going to press a log overhead the first time. Yeah, maybe you will. Maybe you've got potential. But here's what I found with potential. The test of real potential is when you get hurt. That's what's going to decide if you are a winner or a loser, because we know a lot of people, whether it's NFL, you know, weightlifting, you know, anything, all right, baseball, there's a hell of a lot of men and women that come in with a lot more potential, and they're always being told how great they are. But I've noticed, I know friends of mine that were very good Olympic lifters that hurt their back, and they never came back from that. And I know that they were physically all right, but you know what? They weren't mentally all right anymore. And I found more people I know get butchered mentally, and they aren't getting the cheers they used to, and maybe they're not getting the hand-holding they used to, and they fade away. Or they become mediocre, and that's basically the end of them. So learn to fail. Welcome failure. You know, go ahead.
Sorry, for like in all these strength sports, it's not if you're going to get hurt, it's when you're going to get hurt.
Absolutely.
If you can have a successful strength career without getting hurt, and I'm not going to say like breaking your leg or some freak accident, but like pulling a stone and you pop your bicep or something, like were you really trying? Yep. Were you going after your full potential?
Yep.
And like, anyways, in life, I could, whether I go to the gym and get hurt or whether I fall down my stairs and like twist my ankle. I mean, it's a lot cooler story if I was like, oh, I'm squatting and I tore my quad.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Hey, look, everybody's got a chance to be great. It doesn't matter what you do. But, you know, I can tell you just from all the pitfalls of owning a business and trying to make it month from month because we're young. It's the greatest thing you could ever do. And I mean that wholeheartedly, but you have to be a personality that can take it. You have to be able to dish it out 10 times harder than it goes to you. There's going to be a lot of disappointment. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to disappoint you, but you know what? This is life. This is life. Yeah. Nobody is allowed. Well, maybe some people are, but I've never been allowed to live in a bubble where everything's okay. You know, don't worry about anything, you know, you can do it, blah, 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 blah. Yet, you can do all those things, but you got to remember, we had a brutal week last week. We lost internet here in my area. You know, I didn't have email for I can't tell you how many days, and the position from Time Warner is, you know, just be patient. I'm like, be patient. If I didn't pay my bill, you would have cut me off. You know what I mean? I understand things happen. I worked in technology for years, all right? I got it. But you have to do things and repair them. Then my modem blows up. So now I've got nothing, and they find that they put one in here that was too slow. Now they've got one that runs at 5 gig, and things move like a jet right now, and I couldn't be happier. Then Pamela, who's my recorder here for the show, rolls out a fix, and the fix corrupts all my stuff, which thank God I had a backup because I was able to restore everything right to the day before. And what it did is it stripped all the sound out of whomever I would speak to, and I wouldn't have any. So say, you know, we've been on for probably about 50 minutes now. We shut the thing off, and I go to get it ready to post it, and Danielle's not – I don't hear her, and I don't hear me, and I'm pissed now. So they turn out a product that literally cripples you from doing a podcast. So that meant going out, testing new recorders, picking a good one like I have now, and away we go. So what I'm saying to everybody is this. All these things we do, and we'll leave it to weight training, entrepreneurship, and everything, for as great as you hear about it is, there's very few people that are going to talk to you about the pitfalls of anything because nobody wants to hear about injury. Nobody wants to hear about those days when you're busted down on one knee and you don't know if you're going to make it. Nobody wants to hear, well, am I going to make it this month with my bills or my business? Nobody wants to hear that stuff. Well, you know what? I used to hate that, but now it's a fact of life and it doesn't bother me anymore. That's the main thing, because there's going to be all these factors in for success, and to me, success is far greater than failure. If you think about constantly when things are going wrong for you, why did I get into this, and think to yourself, All you got to do is hold on a little longer. I guarantee you, you will succeed. Danielle, summarize anything you like. Give out any ways anybody can get a hold of you. I'll give out my information. If you'd hang on the line, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have anything else to summarize. Everybody keep getting it, though. And shout out to Play Again. And Ivan and Jansen, everybody who's kind of helped me in this transition. And you guys can follow me again on Instagram at Lifter Misty or on Facebook, it's Danielle Curry.
Awesome. This is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to, obviously, motivationandmuscle.com, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, the 30-day program, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Fira, our motivationmuscle.com, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten, and we appreciate it. Everybody knows we're streaming. Some of the stuff we're out on, we're on so many directories, but we're on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha, which anybody that has a new vehicle has capability to get podcasting in their car now. Aha is where the directory is that lists Motivation and Muscle. If there's a show you'd like Danielle and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and I'll leave you with a few things here. Number one, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give words of inspiration. I'm telling you, 5 words can change your life. As my mother used to tell us when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift tonight, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, press it. And if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Stone Crusher says, in blood red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We follow no one's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. And as the great Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem since the very beginning and who's a guest on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that for the next 30 years, and I thank you for that compliment. Also, Frank Klein, who was probably my greatest college professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a winner. Or be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. And John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for a number of years, who we lost 2 years ago to cancer, who was a big mentor with both Motivation and Muscle and Fiorello Barbell, and really was a big mentor because I had lost my father a number of years before I met John. And John was like a father figure. And he said 2 words, and he walked every one of his patients to the door, and the 2 words were, keep smiling. Sounds very simple, but you could have the worst day in the world, and you remind yourself of those 2 words. You can take a 180 day and turn it into a 360. So keep smiling, everyone. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 of your friends, or better yet, 1,000 of them, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the door in and come get you and be part of our family. This is very important. Danielle, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Eric.
You are welcome. So before we sign off, as I always say, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road. It's very important. And all of you have greatness in you. You heard Danielle tonight. Just transition she's doing. Taking a chance. Taking a leap of faith on herself. And having people believe in you. Believe me, there's people out there like that. Don't shortchange yourself. And don't leave the world without doing something great. We all have it in us. So we'll talk to you again soon, everybody. Have a great week. And like I always say, do something marvelous for someone and yourself. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.